Amen. All right. Got a little joke for you here. Glad the landing lights are off. I felt like I was standing in a runway. But a 747 coming at me there last couple nights. No. All right. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah, that's right. Here, you want to borrow these? Because you're going to need them. All right, let me, here you go. Some of you are well familiar with this, the psychiatric hotline. You know, you probably know the answering machine by heart, but for the rest of us, I'm going to help you out. This is how it goes. If you dial the number, some of you have it on speed dial on your phone probably, it says, "Hello, welcome to the psychiatric helpline." It says, if you are obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. And then it says, if you're codependent, please have someone else press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. This is funnier than you're giving it credit for, I'm telling you. That's all right, it's all right. If you are paranoid delusional, we know who you are and what you want. So just stay on the line because we are tracing this call. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully. In a little voice. We'll tell you which number to press. And if you're a manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, nobody wants to talk to you. I like that one. Glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to have a place to come to that's clean and nobody's taking the Lord's name in vain. Nobody's going to hit on your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter. And if they do, hit them back. In Jesus' name. Okay, it works. Amen. No, I'm serious. What a privilege it is to be in this pulpit and have you. And I know you got busy lives. That track says he lived life in the fast lane. And that's what we call the motorcycle club world back in the 70s and the 80s. The truth of the matter is, every American lives life in the fast lane, and you folks have been aware of it longer than the rest of the country. Amen. Let me tell you something else about New York. I love this place. I love this place. I've had good experiences here, good times here, made good friends here. I've seen God work here. And most of the places I go, people fear this place. And they... You should see the reaction when I tell them we're going to New York City. And they go, how can you? And I'm going, man. I said, why? And they said, because there's so much sin there. I said, well, where are we supposed to go? I thought we were in a ministry. Where are we supposed to go? North Carolina? So, hey, plenty of sin there too. But I count it a privilege to be allowed to come here. Amen. And get a small taste of your world because it tastes good. 1 Peter tonight, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And for those of you that were anticipating point 2 and 3 of last night's message, that's not the way the Lord directed tonight. Verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, for he that will love life. Do you love life? Amen, I do. I'm having a good time. I'm ready to go. Maybe that's why I can have a good time here, because I know how it's going to end. Amen. I know I'm going to spend eternity. I've got the best friends in the world. I've got the best job in the world. I got the best wife that I could possibly have. Actually, I don't even get it, man. I got a much better wife than I deserve. Amen? And I've got the Word of God. And for it says, for he that will love life and see good days. Now, I've seen some pretty bad days. I've seen some rough days. I'm not the only one. But I prefer good ones. Yeah, I'm not martyr material. I can handle some stuff. I have, and may again. But truth of the matter is, I prefer good days. That's what it says. It says, for he that will love life and see good days. It's kind of a common greeting around the country. We say maybe in passing or parting, have a good day. And that's okay with me. That's my favorite kind. What I want to give you tonight is the Bible formula for a good day. So that'd be the title tonight. Have a good day, and we'll just stay right here in 1 Peter 3. And we'll finish the verse for number 1. It pertains to conversation. You want to have a good day? You be mindful of your conversation. Verse 10 again. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That's a good place to start. Let's pray again. Father, I do come to you again in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be amongst brothers and sisters. And I'm glad to be around friends and strangers alike. And Lord, there are many needs in here tonight. And you know them and you can meet them. And I pray that we would allow you to meet them. Give us hearts and minds willing to hear and receptive hearts. And Lord, just minister to us for a few minutes here this night. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, it might be and probably is some people in here tonight that you care so much about, that you gave your life on the cross for them, for their souls, so they wouldn't end up in hell. And they might not even realize to what extent you care about them and what lengths you went to make a way for their sins to be forgiven. And maybe in here tonight they're not forgiven. But they could be, and you'd like them to be, and you proved it. And I pray that tonight maybe you'd make it easy for them to understand the importance of being forgiven. Now, sometimes we use terminology, born again or saved. And I think back to before I was a Christian, and some of those words, they wouldn't have been real clear. But I'll tell you a word that was real clear to me when I heard the gospel in the library at a Montgomery County jail. Forgiveness. And I needed forgiveness. And I got it. Not because I turned over a new leaf or went straight or cut my hair or started going to church. I got it because I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. Made sense. He didn't have any of his own. What was that about? And I said something like this to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you and me both know I deserve hell. But if what you did on the cross, if that mercy could apply to me, somebody like me, I sure would like to have it, Lord. If you'll have me, I'll sure enough have you. Thank you for saving me that day, Lord. Thanks for allowing me to rub shoulders with the cream of the crop. Your people, your children, on their best day, on their worst day, anything good out of any of us is because of your grace, and we thank you for it publicly. I pray you'd meet with us tonight. I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. And I pray you'd reveal yourself to each and every one of us, and may we all acknowledge you accordingly. And again, if someone's not saved, I pray they would not leave that way. I love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so it says, for he that will love life and see good days, number one, it says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. That's a good start. You want to see good days. That's a good place to start. We're talking about conversation. And that word refrain, it means this: to hold back, to restrain, to keep from action. You know, some people have said, well, they just say everything that's on their mind. That's not a virtue sometimes. Amen. Well, it'll make for a bad day. You say the wrong thing to the wrong person, at least where I come from. Amen. And Christians, and we might not fist fight, or we're not supposed to, I guess, but I know we're not. I'm sorry, Lord. But I'll tell you what, I see Christians ruin days, their own days, other days, because they didn't hold back that tongue. And I'm just looking at a simple Bible formula here, and it says, for he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And there's a lot of things to preach on and a lot of sins that God gives us victory over, but there's one mentioned many more times in the Bible than some of the things that we like to talk about, and it has to do with the tongue, and it has to do with gossip, and it has to do with the things that come out of our mouth. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that you can have a lot better shot, according to the Word of God, at having a good day if you had learned to refrain your tongue from evil. James chapter 3, and it says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Amen. It said in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I remember a church service as that early. I hadn't been saved very long, maybe a year or two, I don't know. And pastor got finished in the pulpit Sunday morning, and he said, "Now I want you to know that tonight I'm going to bring a message about the evilest, most wicked member of Charity Baptist Church, my little church in Ohio." And some people, I looked around, you know, and I just figured it was me, but I didn't think he was talking about me. And some people looked kind of nervous, and some people smiled, and I was loving it, man. I'm going, let's see who this is, you know. And it came in with a shoebox, and he set his shoebox on the pulpit, and he went to his text, and he pulled that thing out, had kids in the first couple rows, and all of a sudden he pulled the lid off and reached in there and grabbed a big old cow tongue. About that long. Amen. Started waving it at them kids. He said, I'm going to preach on the wickedness. And it's the tongue. Amen. I was bummed out. I was let down. I wanted to know who the bad guy was. Amen. But the Bible has a lot to say about what we say and how we say them. And truth be known, on this side of the cross, even as church members, even as in our own family, sometimes we can stir it up. And have anything but a good day. And have anything but a good night's sleep because of some things that came out of our mouth that shouldn't have and then weren't dealt with. Amen. So if you want to have a good day, refrain your tongue from evil. Watch your conversation. And listen, I'll be the first to admit it's not easy sometimes. Well, you know, that's not relevant. If it's not easy, then you just try harder. Amen? As hard as necessary. And like Pat rightfully said, you don't have to. You don't have to. Have a nice day. Do whatever you want. But if you want to have a good day, I'm trying to help you tonight. Be mindful of your conversation. And the verse doesn't even end there. We're talking about conversation. And it says, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Yeah, guile is craft, cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit. Amen. As a verb, the word means to disguise craftily. That's when you manipulate your words to get what you want or to accomplish a purpose that you're shooting for. And what it means really is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is not the priority. And how many times do we put forth a part of the story or part of the truth and it ends up coming back later to bite us? Amen. So I'm just trying to help you tonight. If you want to have a good day, it says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. In Psalm 39, verse number 1, the psalmist wrote this, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And some people are more prone to have a problem with their mouth than others, but we all can, and all have, and all will again. And I'm trying to help you tonight on this thought, on this conversation, point of conversation. You might have to learn to bridle your tongue. Let me tell you something about conversation in this day and age. That includes these right here. Because this day and age of whatever thought crosses your mind ends up on the internet. Are you kidding me? How many things have been said? How much hurtfulness has gone on? Because in a moment of emotion, somebody just put it out there and you can't get it back. I told somebody that was having a particular problem, amen, with putting everything that they thought. They weren't that smart. That's not a good formula. Put everything they thought on Facebook. And they would try to disguise it like they were talking about something else. And I mean, Ray Charles could see what was going on. I said, maybe what would help you would be to, and I don't even know if it's possible. I don't even know how you do it. But maybe you should write all that out and then sit on that thing for a day. Because how many things have you said, how many things have you written that later on you say, oh, I'm not sending that. I mean, I'm from the email generation. I'm starting to get it. But now this texting with both fingers, are you kidding me? I'll never get it. And that social media thing, forget that. I'm going the other way, man. That scares me. I've seen that hurt people. I have seen that hurt people, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it personally. Amen. We're talking about conversation. And, you know, if you're saved, you're saved. And, you know, if you're spiritual, you're spiritual. We're talking about one day at a time. Some days are better than others. I'm just telling you, I'm confessing to you, I prefer good days. Amen. And let me think. Oh, yeah, we're addressing this from the Bible. Maybe God's got something to say about it. It says, for he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. My wife showed me this verse this morning. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Let me tell you something. You are responsible, beloved, for what comes out of your mouth. And if you can't control it, shut it! Amen. That's what it says. I'm talking straight to you. Amen? Amen. Then let me be mindful of this too. Conversation is a two-way interaction. Usually. Now, I know some people you can't get a word in edgewise with, you know. But generally, it's a two-way thing. And if you want to have a good day, not only be careful of what you say, be careful of what you listen to. It says in Proverbs 19 and 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. If you got somebody in your ear, some disgruntled whatever, and they're saying things to you, and they're whining and complaining, and it's contrary to this book, that'll hurt you. And you need to get enough Bible in you so that you know when to say, whoa, we can't go there. We can't go there. I'm not better than you. I'm not more spiritual than you. Maybe I'm less because I can't go there. I can't talk about that. That'll affect me. That'll hurt me. I want good days. I want to see good days. I don't want to get sucked into it. And I've learned a while back, sometimes the conversation gets going in a certain direction and I withdraw. Say, how'd you learn to do that, Brother Spurgeon? I learned it because of the times I didn't. And the days weren't so good. And maybe I'm just a wimp. Because I prefer good days. Amen. And the first thing in the order here is refrain his tongue from evil and let his lips and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, an interesting verse, and this is gun barrel straight, Pauline, doctrinally applicable to you and I. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, that's good in and of itself. But the verse and the passage and the context to you and I, New Testament Christian, says, be not deceived. Remember that wicked heart we talked about the other day? Amen, that deceitful heart. It's amazing what a Christian can deceive themselves into thinking, believing. And so the passage says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't let anybody else fool you. You can be saved. You can be born in church. You can know a scripture. Amen. You can have a spiritual silver spoon in your mouth. You can be raised with godly parents. Sent to the right kind of school, do family devotion, sit under preaching, memorize verses, lead people to Christ. And if you do any and all of that, God will honor that. You'll reap what you sow. That's a two-way street there in Galatians chapter 6. It's not all negative. And you sow to the Spirit, you'll love the Spirit. But you can have everything going for you and evil communication can mess that up. And we know this, and you've heard it said, and it's true, and a testimony that gets built over a period of years can go up in smoke in a short time. And then, boom, boom, there you are, back to ground zero. We see folks like I described, been in church a long time, never exposed to some of the things some of us have to fight in our minds, in our hearts. And we're trying to come out of the mess. And we're seeing good, solid Christians just messing things up and heading toward that pit that we're fighting and clawing to come out of. And they had a good start. What messed it up? Evil communications. This thing's important enough that God mentions it in this book more than a few times. You want to have a good day? Answer me. Amen. Want to have a good day? Okay. 1 Peter 1 and 15 says this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of communication. No, I'm sorry. Conversation. That's what we're talking about. You want to have a good day? All right. You better take heed to your conversation. That's what's addressed there. All right. And now verse 10, look at verse 11. We're talking about a Bible formula for a good day. And it says this in verse 11, let him eschew evil. Eschew evil. Let's stop right there. I don't know about you, but I never even heard that word. When I was lost, when I was a kid, when I was in the motorcycle gang, when I've been in jail, I never heard the word eschew. I met that word in Job chapter 1, first time I read through the Bible. And it said there in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And I didn't need an 1828 to get a pretty good idea of what it meant. I mean, you can tell by the context what it means. But I'm going to define it for you tonight, to abstain or keep away from, shun, avoid. All right? Those are pretty plain English. Number two tonight, you want to have a good day? First, take heed to your conversation, but then what? Your conduct. Your conduct. It says, let him eschew evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. It says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't say abstain from evil. Because then I guess you'd have opportunity to determine within yourself, your opinion could come in there about what's evil and what's not. And I don't see, I hear it, I don't see anything wrong with this, and I don't see, and usually when you hear somebody say that, it's a pretty good indicator that they don't have much of a relationship with their Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 5. The Bible says that the word of righteousness determines whether or not you have the spiritual discernment to know good from evil. Amen? And so, but it doesn't say abstain from all appearance of evil and leave it up to us to define it. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. And that just takes it up a notch. Amen? And that means that our conduct isn't controlled, like many in the world, by situation ethics. Well, to do this, I did this. And to accomplish this good, well, I had see, that's what we call the end justifying the means. And the world operates like that on a regular basis. And so do many Christians. But let me tell you something tonight. The end does not justify the means to God. Because God is in charge of the end. God is interested, more interested, 1 Samuel 15, in obedience than sacrifice. So God's really interested in whether or not we got enough faith to do it His way. Without tweaking it. Without inserting our own. Amen. Our own idea. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Murphy's Law. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, Brother Murphy. Everybody heard of Murphy's Law. And I don't know where it came from. It didn't come from our dear brother here. Or my dear brother Patrick Murphy back in Ohio. Amen. But Murphy's Law goes like this. And everybody's heard it. And it goes, if anything can go wrong, it will. Isn't that right? Did I say it right? All right. And that's not Murphy's Law. I'll tell you what that is. That is the law of the flesh, man. That is a rule. Amen. If it can go wrong, every dispensation ends in man's failure and God's judgment. That's just how it is. Man is best states altogether vanity. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord interceded on your behalf? Amen. And most people don't have much going for them at all. At least we got the Lord. At least. Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. And then it goes on, part two. And at the worst part possible time. Yeah, you travel around the country in an RV, you'll understand that. Amen. But you don't have to. You already understand it. I mean, when's a good time for a blowout? When's a good time for a blown engine? When's a good time for a dryer to stop? When's a good time for this stuff? Don't you wish we could schedule a catastrophes? Because I would like other things. I would forget to schedule them. Amen? But I think that, and at the worst possible time, that's not Murphy's Law. That's Mrs. Murphy's Law. That sounds like a woman speaking. That's like the guy said, oh man, I can't believe this happened. And she said, yeah, now of all times. You want to have a good day? Get a hold of this, child of God. Murphy's Law for the Christian goes like this. Anything you say, anything you do, any place you go, anything you engage in that can be used against the cause of Jesus Christ. If it can be used by somebody to say, see, we want to proclaim our liberty in Christ because we're eternally secure, saved by grace, and we forget the importance of our own testimony, and a devil, the god of this world, that's got a lost and dying world perched on the edge of their seat, eyeballing us, whether you realize it or not, looking to find fault with us so they can find fault with our Savior. Here's the problem. It's easy to find fault with us on our best day. So that makes it that much more important to work at this thing. I'm trying to say how to have a good day and your conversation, but now your conduct, you want to have a good day, get a hold of this right here. And this is real deep. Bob Jones Sr. Said this. It is never, watch this, never right to do wrong. This is complicated, isn't it? And isn't this deep and hard? And that's really that simple in the Lord's economy. And, you know, you can play whatever games you want. God's merciful, and I've been guilty too, man. This, the ground level, okay? But I'll tell you what. In fact, you get a hold of what that book says about something as simple as how to have a good day, and then read the formula that follows, and you'll say, wow, that sounds, might be a good idea. I'm going to tell you something. It might be a good idea. My preacher said to me like this when I was a young Christian. Now, I was on the road with the motorcycle gang for 15 years after several years in the military. And I know something about the road. Maybe that's why it works for me in evangelism. I love it. I understand the highways. I'm comfortable out there. And I didn't become an evangelist because I like to travel. I sat in a little church in Dayton, Ohio for 7 years. Of course, five of it I was on federal paper and couldn't go anywhere. But while I was doing that, I went to the jails, I went to the street, I went everywhere there was to go. I stood at the back door of Charity Baptist Church. I was the usher. Yeah. Last couple of years, we had like four or five ushers. But when I was the usher, we only needed one. Yeah, I can handle a job. I can handle 300 people. Yeah. A preacher stood at a camp meeting one time, big meeting, 300 plus people in the church. And he said, now we're going to have a good time here in the Lord, and people can shout and have a good time. Amen. And I like that. I like that when it's real. You know, you hear me back there saying amen when we start talking about chains falling off. It's real to me. I did get saved in a dungeon. Amen. I mean one with bars on it. Amen. Some brother, he said, but say, okay, we're going to have a good meeting here, and it might get a little, some of you might, you know, see some excitement that you're not used to. That's fine. But he said, we're going to do this, and we're going to conduct the services in English. Now, that doesn't mean if he spoke Spanish, that wouldn't be okay. But he's talking about, he was addressing this unknown tongue thing. And he was just laying the groundwork down for the meeting. And he said, and then he looked at the congregation, he said, and if any of you feel an uncontrollable urge to start babbling in an unknown tongue, and he pointed to the back of the congregation, I was sitting standing by the back doors, I'm standing there like this, and he says, that guy right there! And everybody in the room turned around, and here I'm standing there, I'm the usher, and he said, David, raise your hand, and I raised my hand. He said, that guy right there will show you out. I showed a few people out. We had a guy that came to the meeting one night. He says, I can spot him. He has the look. I'm on him, buddy. And I'm like, I'm checking him out. I'm following around. And I say, hey, man, what's up? He said, I'm here to preach. And I didn't recognize him. I didn't see his name on the flyer. I said, really? I said, what's your name? Blah, blah, blah. His dad came up from the town south, and God showed up in his bedroom last night and told him he was going to preach at this meeting. I said, really? Yes, and I'm going to. And he had that look, you know, like he was going to go for it. And I thought, fun. It's coming. It's going to be fun. And I said, well, I don't think you're preaching tonight, but let me go check with the pastor. He says, I'm preaching tonight. You don't have to check with anybody. God told me I'm preaching tonight. I said, okay. All right. I said, come here. So we go outside. I said, I need to talk to you. And I stood between him and the door. And I says, you're not preaching tonight. Oh, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not preaching tonight. And he insisted that God told him. And I says, okay, maybe you are. Maybe you are preaching tonight. I said, all you got to do is get by me. He didn't take it any farther than that. What I'm saying is this. Before I got on the road in evangelism, I spent 4 years standing at the back door and no visitor came into our church without a smile and a sincere welcome and a visitor's pack. And I tried to be the best usher I could be for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't even believe God would let me be an usher. Then they asked me to teach Sunday school. Can you imagine 12 teenagers in a 10 by 10 room with me? Shut the door. Hey, kids. I wasn't eloquent like I am now. I was a little rough around the edges back then. Brother Eastap knew that my proclivity for traveling, and he said this early on. And it worked. It helped me. It helps me now that I'm back on the road for Jesus Christ. He said, David, the wrong road never turns out at the right place. That's where I get it. That's putting the cookies on the table where the kids can reach them. Those are the kind of things that were said to me as a young Christian that made sense. Okay. You know, I know enough. I know this. From here, I'm going down to like D.C. D.C., I got a meeting down there after the Bronx. And I'm not going to get on Interstate 80 and head west. Now, Interstate 80 is a fine highway, but it would never take me to where I'm going. Because the wrong road never turns out its right place. And if you don't take heed to your conduct, here's what you do. You'll find out with the best of intentions, you'll find yourself on the wrong road, and then you're standing there lost. Not spiritually. If you're saved, you're saved. But you're standing going, how did I get here, and what happened? And it's because you didn't take heed. It said, let him eschew evil and do good. See, that's like replacement therapy. So when you get the bad out, you add something good. We're talking about conduct. It says, let him eschew evil and do good. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay? And then in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15 says, see that none, that's the English word for none. Yeah. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. You want to have a good day? Eschew evil, do good. The verse finishes like this. Both among yourselves, that's us, and to all men. The common theme in both those verses is not just do good. That's a formula for a good day. But it says unto all men. So it's easy to be on your best behavior around people you know, people you love, people you like. But if you want to have a good day, get God's blessing, like Brother Pat said, and get on blessing ground. You want to have a good day, your conduct is going to have to include doing good all the time around everybody, even those people you don't like. That's a little harder, isn't it? Sure it is. But this is how you have a good day. And verse finishes with these words. We're in verse 11, and it says, let him seek peace and ensue it. That word ensue means to follow after or to pursue. And let me tell you something, especially, I don't guess it matters, but I would think it's safe to say, especially in this world, it's also in the last days, perilous times shall come, we're there. If you don't look for peace, you don't seek it, you're not going to find it. So if you want to have a good day, eschew evil, avoid it, amen? Spot it, learn to spot it, avoid it, shun it. And not just that, issue and then ensue peace. Boy, peace is something I didn't know a thing about when I was lost. Every day for 18 years was war. And then I got saved. And the Prince of Peace said, peace, be still. to a war that was raging in my soul. And winning no longer became the most important thing, because I was already on the winning side. And I'm not trading it for nothing. And if I got to stay around the likes of you guys 6 days a week the rest of my life to keep right with God, no problem. Because I've been wrong with God. And it's no fun. But at the end of it, I mean, I know I'm going to heaven and I'm real good with that, but just to be honest, maybe I'm just a wimp. I prefer good days down here, too. And I prefer them. And sometimes the bad ones make you appreciate the good ones. But then again, I just wonder if we couldn't just get in the Word of God and find out the formulas that He gives us, because they're all through there. And this one here is precious to me. For he who will love life and see good days. Watch your conversation. I mean, seriously. And then be mindful of your conduct. And then verse 12. Verse 12. I'm not cutting it off tonight. We're going for it. I have 19 more points. No, I don't. Verse number 12 says this. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, next on this list is communion. Communion with the Lord. Don't forsake your communion with the Lord. Communion means this. Fellowship between two persons or more. Agreement. Concord. And I got to tell you, the most important person to be in fellowship with is Jesus Christ. You want to have a good day, start your day in communion with the Lord. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You think the Lord's going to send you into a bad day? That's the other guy. And the other guy, he really gets credit for stuff. I believe he gets credit for stuff he doesn't even know about. Because our flesh already, man, is prone for that. But stay in communion with God. The most important person to be in agreement with and concord is the Lord. I heard somebody say one time, you know, something didn't go the way they thought, and they were disgruntled, and they were mad at God. Like, how foolish is that? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because maybe somebody in here has gotten mad at God. Are you kidding me? He don't know you the breath you're breathing right. Save, lost, he don't know you the breath you're breathing right now. You better be careful. But this person said, if you're mad at God, just go out and yell and scream and tell Him. And I tried that once. Things weren't going very good. And I went out in the yard and I went, God! And it got real quiet and I went, never mind. Yeah. But let me put it to you like this. This day and age, it's all right to disagree with God. It's okay. Just so long as you know He's right. And you're wrong every time. Amen. Say, well, I don't agree. Well, you've been wrong before. You'll be wrong that one too. I mean, listen, David longed for communion with the Lord. That's why it said in Psalm 63 and verse number 1, O God, Thou art my God. He's my God tonight. Is He yours? David said, O God. He could have stopped right there, but he said, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. Boy, you ever get there, you're in communion with the Lord. Amen. When it isn't a struggle, when it isn't a hassle, when it isn't an afterthought, when your eyes open in the morning and you just start thinking, oh man, God, you gave me another day, thank you. Maybe you'll learn to hit your knees. I mean, prayer is easy to fake. Not between you and God. He knows. But it's easy to go by the wayside, and long after you're still coming to church and carrying your Bible and quoting Scripture. But don't you like to... Listen, you want to have a good day? You want to have a good day? Start your day in communion, fellowship, agreement with the Lord, And not just, you know, that's not the only time. You start your day talking to the Lord, you'll have a good day. No matter what happens. I'm telling you, I'm serious. And then the verse did end and says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So you can take that back up to the other verse, but it says, eschew evil. That'll make for a bad day. That's not the message, so I'll keep moving on. But that won't make for a good day to have the face of the Lord against you. Say, what will He do to me? He doesn't have to do anything to you. He just won't hear you. You won't feel His presence. He's still there, but you got some repenting to do. Number whatever it is, 4. Verse 13. So we got conversation and conduct and communion. And number 4, it says in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? You know what that speaks to me about? Confidence. Confidence. Psalm 118 and verse 8 says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Isn't it good to know that the Lord won't change His mind on you? Amen. You can say something and it'd be taken out of context by brother or sister, and the next thing you know, they're offended. They're offended. My Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the next time you start waving your King James Bible around and saying, I'm a Bible believer from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I just love this book, and you start, and then you are thin-skinned and you get easily offended, hello? That little prick that you felt as the Holy Spirit saying, that'd be a good time to get right, pal. Amen. I'm telling you something tonight. You're not going to offend God, and you probably, you know, he's probably got more right to be offended at you than you do anybody else, because he's somebody, and your problem is you forgot you're not. Amen. I'm sharing now. Amen. Most things in this world, most things will let you down sooner or later at some point. But I'm talking about the confidence that you can have as a child of God, knowing that He will never let you down. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, it doesn't say nobody's against us. Amen. But comparatively, I mean, compared to the one that's for you? Amen. I mean, come on, let's face it. What is it that you think can come your way that He can't handle? Nothing. That's a confidence. I put my confidence in some things through the year, in some people, in myself. I've let myself down. Anybody else in here ever done that? The ones of you that didn't raise your hand? You should have. Amen. It says in Hebrews, yeah, Hebrews 6 and verse 19, which hope we have is an anchor. Amen. Amen. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I hope you have an anchor for your soul tonight. Because when everything else is coming apart, and sometimes it does, at least you can have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I learned this in a jail cell. Not long after I got saved, I mean, I don't know, maybe momentarily. The greatest source of confidence that you can ever have is knowing absolutely where your soul is going to spend eternity. I'll tell you what, the biggest issues that come your way in this life really do start to pale when you realize, oh well, whatever happens, at least hell isn't in my future. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, aren't you glad you've got a Savior that never failed, bats 1,000, never had a problem, loved you? Yeah, you probably disappointed Him, but I know I have. But the Bible says that God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew what He was getting. He knew what He was getting. Amen. He loves you. Like brother said, He loves you. We got some things here tonight that'll make for a good day. Verse 15. Here's where I say I'm almost done, and you hope I'm really mean it. Verse number 15. Now, we're using C's tonight. So we had a communion and confidence. Next is, let have a good day. Get a hold of consecration. Consecration. Let me tell you what that means. To appropriate, to sacred use, to set apart, dedicate, or devote to the service and worship of God. Look in verse 15. And look at what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, consecration is an Old Testament word. But it's not an Old Testament concept. The New Testament word for it is sanctification. So if you want to have a good day, one of the definitions there of consecration was set apart. And let me tell you, if you want to have a good day, set God apart. Right here, in your heart. What does that mean? Make sure He's on the throne. God's not going to be your co-pilot. God's a gentleman, though. If you want to steer, He'll let you. He'll let you. But He ain't riding along with you. So if you decide to crash and burn, well, aren't you glad that you won't burn forever if you're saved? But I'm telling you what, we do well to set God apart and honor Him as the King of our life because He deserves to be. And then take it a step farther and set yourself apart too. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Sanctification. Set apart for the service of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 21 said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and the these, he says, are profane and vain babblings. I call it trivial pursuit. and foolish and unlearned questions. And sad report, I travel around at churches every week and some of them get bogged down with that stuff. And they do. And I don't have time for it. I don't have tolerance for it. But Timothy, it was addressed by Paul to Timothy, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified. And I love this. Meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I said it last night. When Paul said, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he was talking about being meet for the master's use. That's the high calling of God. It isn't a title, it isn't a position, it isn't a diploma. It's to be a vessel that God can use to reach somebody, to get them closer to Him. That's what we're here for. Amen? And if you can get a hold of sanctifying the Lord God in your heart, well, the verse finishes, verse 15 finishes with these words, and I say that if you'll do the first part, you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Consecration. Now, last of all, verse 16. Having a good conscience. Brother Dean talked about a guilt. It says, having a good conscience, that where they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Yeah. I'm not worried about people telling lies about me. I'm worried about people telling the truth about me. Amen. Amen. I want to maintain a good conversation in Jesus Christ. To have a good day, you need to have a clear conscience. And to do that, you're going to have to keep short accounts with God. Amen. You're going to have to get close to God, and when something's wrong, get it right. Straighten it out. Quit comparing it. Well, compared to so-and-so. Well, okay, you can do it any way you want. I mean, the great equalizer is the judgment seat of Christ. But if you wait till you get there to find out the Bible was true, it'll be too late to do anything with it. But if we can get a hold of some of this now, maybe we can make a difference to our friends and our family. Amen? Maybe we can please the Lord and get some to the cross that was important enough that He hung there and bled there and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do from there. I know something about a guilty conscience. It makes for a bad day. It makes for a bad day. And I know all about it from my lost days. But I know about it from this side, too. And so do you. So let me say this. If you've got something that's bothering your conscience, something's going to prevent you from having a good day, yes, we still love you, and you're still saying, I'm not saying all that. I'm talking about how to have a good day. We're talking about walking out of here closer to God. Well, anything that you settle here would help you leave closer to God. Amen? Any problem, anything. In other words, if he has something that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. Get it right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How could it get any easier than that? It is that simple. And maybe to have a clean conscience, said there, having a good conscience, maybe there's somebody in the room right now you need to go over to when we have the invitation and say, you know, I'm sorry. And whatever it is, I know this. The devil hates that when Christians will humble themselves. He hates it. I know something else. The flesh hates it too. That's why we don't do it. That's why we hope it'll just pass. But that's why we don't have the conscience we should have, because we harbor stuff and we say stuff and we hope it'll go away. And Christians are gracious, and sometimes it will. But I'm trying to help you have a better day than normal. And if you can get a hold of some of this stuff, this will work tomorrow. It'll work the day after. It'll work the day after. And if you don't have a good day because you violate some of these very basic, simple, doable principles, it's not God's fault. Amen? Good conversation in Christ is a fundamental ingredient for a good day. That is not rocket science. The Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days. That's the goal. That's the purpose. Let's all stand if you're able. Now, I'm talking about a good day, and I've confessed, you know, that they're my favorite kind. I mean, I don't have to be doing a lot. It's not some place I need to visit or some activity. Just a good day, I guess, where the peace of God is ruling in my heart. But I'm going to tell you something that's more important than a good day. Good eternity. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you might be a very nice person, and I don't detect any contrary spirit in here, but it is our obligation to let you know that if you're not saved and you step into eternity, and you're going to, because we're all going to, nobody lives forever, and not down here, and you step into eternity and you can have heard 1,000 Bible messages, but if you've never made your peace with God and believed in your heart that what Jesus Christ did on the cross that we sing about, that we talk about, he did to make a way for your sin to be forgiven. You step into eternity before you make him your Savior. He will be your judge and he will say, depart from me, I never knew ye. And that is so unnecessary. And you can have a good day by getting a hold of what the Bible says. And you can have a wonderful eternity by getting a hold of what the Bible says. And that pretty much makes it even across the board, no matter who you are, no matter what your standing is in Jesus Christ or lack of it, if we just get a hold of what the Bible says, we could have a good day. And God's done all that he can do, all that he needs to do, by giving us a book and giving us a place and giving us a preacher and giving us this time. But now it's your move. And what kind of day you have, that's up to you. Say, well, I don't believe all that. Okay. Let me know how your day goes. Don't risk eternity in the lake of fire. Don't you dare. Don't you dare go to hell when folks like me and Mark will be up there at the foot of Jesus Christ rejoicing. Amen? What a thing that would be. It won't be funny though, will it? Brother Dean likes to sing, and he does a great job, and he will do those verses and he'll say, join us! Boy, I'll tell you what, we're talking about the body of Christ. Why don't you join us tonight?
Amen.
Amen? Preacher, you come. You got the message. I hope you come. I hope you have a good day.
Amen.